Blog Talk Radio.
Show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm very, very excited for tonight's show. Hey, I want to let everybody know, I know we had some technical issues last night. That episode is going to be rescheduled. It's looking like it's going to be this Sunday. I have just an email that just rolled in, right? I noticed as I slid into the chair here, so I'll be posting that later, information about our guest from last night being rescheduled. So never fear, though. Tonight, we're looking good. We're looking good. I am super excited about tonight's show because it's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. We have her on. She comes on the show a few times a year, and we just I just love it when she does, I should say. She's just cool turned up to 10. Without further ado, everyone, I would like to welcome Miss Allison Metal Babe Cohen. Allison, how are you?
Hi, Jamie. I am great, and I'm super excited to be back on the air with you.
Oh, I'm excited too. You know, it's always such a blast when you're on, and I love having you on because there's never a shortage of things to talk about. You've always got so much going on, and you just inspire me so much. You know, you just always doing a lot of stuff, and I think that's wicked cool. Even in the middle
of
this year.
I never stop.
You want to scare people. I know. I don't think you can. You're one of the few people this year that, you know, in the middle of everything, you were still had a lot of stuff going on. You know, a lot of it was online, and you did some solo traveling, you and your husband, I know, and just crazy, man, just crazy. I follow your adventures on all your social media.
Well, thank you. So, yeah, and you know, the last time we spoke, it was when I was in Washington. So since then, I came back to LA for 10 days, and then I drove all the way to Mississippi and back again. So yeah, it's been quite the summer. I wanted to make it to Florida, but you know, we talked. We could talk about that another time. But yes, it's been great, you know.
Absolutely. I was kind of annoyed with my doctors. They weren't letting me see anybody, and I couldn't have any visitors this summer. It sucked. I'm like, come on, man. Come on. I'm such a delicate, fragile flower. Not really, but everybody seems to think I am. Anyhow, Allison, it has been a crazy year, but a lot's going on in the world of Allison Metal Babe, you know, in rock and roll in general. Before we get into all this, though, I want to let people know, for those who don't know, been living under a rock or something, Allison is the, you know, behind Metal Babe Mayhem and, of course, the really cool band networking service, MBM Music LLC. And I just wanted to get that out of the way up front. Metal Babe Mayhem is the coolest. They have the coolest clothing. You do a monthly playlist of some really great bands and whatnot. And you are just a friend and, you know, not only a friend, a vital organ of the rock scene, you know, here and abroad. You do so much.
Yes, thank you. That's a great introduction.
Tell people, let's get it out of the way so people know, though, Metal Babe Mayhem, it's the coolest clothing and accessories on the planet of rock and roll type stuff, and you know, you've been doing that a while now, right?
I started in 2006. That was when I first came up with the idea of the Lips and Bones logo, and you know, it's just been a lot since then. You know, it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of, you know, long days and long nights, lots of networking. But, you know, I have at this point been able to create, you know, kind of like an empire. It's, you know, it's kind of all music related, like you said. Mm-hmm. I've got hundreds of products, you know, for guys and girls, T-shirts, clothing, hoodies, jewelry, accessories. And I do sell online on my website, metalbabemayhem.com. And then I also have an Etsy store, which is Metal Babe Mayhem also.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, what's great about Etsy is, you know, I live in an apartment, you know, so I can't possibly stock, you know, 1,000 different options. So if you go to Etsy, you can get all different colors of the shirts, not just black, and you can get from like small to 5X. So variety is great there. Unfortunately, when you order Etsy, you don't get a nice, nice little high, you know, note from me with a You Rockin' gift. That's the downfall. You have variety. But, you know, anybody who orders from me and who knows me and who has ordered knows that I pride myself on my customer service. So every order is packed with love and comes with a handwritten note, a little gift. So anything you order online, you know, from me, you'll get that bonus in the customer service. And I am right now, I'm going to do some posts tomorrow because, you know, today was all about this radio show. But today I created some Halloween graphics. I've got some great new products. So tomorrow I am going to start giving some more shout outs to some, you know, bats and necklaces and skulls and some cool Halloween products that we've got available this month.
Nice, nice. Now, in addition to, you know, being a fashion and style icon, you know, you also are a journalist. You interview bands. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I've said this before, and I'll say it again because it's so very true. I talk to people all over the planet, and several times people have mentioned Allison Metal Babe, and she knows everybody, man. So in addition to all this fashion stuff that you do, all the cool fashion work, you're also doing rock promotion and journalism and interviewing bands and getting the word out about them.
I love to write. You know, I've always, as you know, everybody knows, I'm kind of a, you know, English grammar perfectionist, and that just kind of led me in 2005, I think, was when I first started writing professionally. It just kind of all fell in place. But yes, I love to write. I love doing reviews. That's my favorite. Like when I am at a live show and I get inspired. And I love that I write for me, and the magazines I write for, you know, believe in me. So they, you know, if I send them my material that I'm excited about, you know, they're excited about it. So tomorrow in Sin City Presents, I put out an article about Conquest, which up until last weekend was the only live show I saw this whole summer. In 5 months, I saw one band, which, you know, that's insane. But tomorrow I have a review of the Conquest show I saw in St. Louis on August 15th comes out.
Oh, wow. Very, very cool. And for those who don't know, Allison's very, it's very true what she's saying. You have to understand, under pre-COVID, Allison would see, you know, 3 or 4 shows a week. You know, I mean, at a minimum, you're always going to shows all over the world. You know, it's pretty amazing. One show the whole summer. That's a first.
Yeah, I did.
That's a first.
Unfortunately, I saw a band last weekend for my birthday. I got to see another band. But yeah, so back to the writing. I love it when I'm inspired, but I also, you know, like, you know, when I've got an assignment, you know, every now and then, if I'm asked, I write for Sin City Presents in Vegas, and they gave me a fun idea I'm going to do for November. I like writing about travel and fitness. And yeah, it's definitely a fun thing to do, and it's great to have an outlet, you know, on Metal Babe Mayhem where I can put my writing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, in addition to all of this, a couple years ago, you partnered up with some folks, and everybody started. You guys all started the MBM Music LLC, which is a band and vendor promotion networking service. How's that been going?
Well, this year is very slow, as you can imagine.
Right.
There's no live music. There's not a whole lot to promote. Most of the bands I've been working with, I've been recording this year. So, you know, hopefully as things start to, you know, get better and open up again, the bands will have new live music to play. But, you know, most of everything we've been doing has been behind the scenes since there hasn't been anywhere to, you know, be out and about promoting. But, you know, right. we are still going strong.
No, that's absolutely cool. That's absolutely cool. I know a lot of people have been doing live streaming and whatnot. And I say this in every episode, and I'll continue to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you watch, you know, if you're checking out a live stream of you know, your band that you dig doing something or whatnot, all of these shows, all these streams that I've seen all have a little tip jar. Understand, when these bands and whatnot can't play venues and everything and sell merch at these venues, a big chunk of their money is missing. So throw a couple bucks in that tip jar, you know? They're working real
yeah.
hard, and they need it, you know?
Well,
absolutely.
You know, I'm a very big supporter, too. You know, anybody knows that. And, you know, I like to actually buy my CDs and my T-shirts and, you know, support the band.
Right, me
and
too.
I really like the Monsters of Rock. I actually have now, because of the summer shows, I have a new autographed symbol from Enough's Enough. I got an autographed
nice.
Symbol and picture from Gilby Clark, and I got an autographed poster from Pretty Boy Floyd. So, you know, when I came home
wow.
from being gone all summer, I had a giant pile of mail, and all three of those things were waiting for me. Because I like to support.
That's awesome. That's a nice little thing to come home to, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like Christmas.
Yeah, that was
like Christmas.
That was
I'm
great.
Telling.
It was.
Oh man! And happy belated birthday. You mentioned your birthday. That was last week. And
yes.
wow, another one. Another one. Now, you normally not just do a birthday night. You normally have like a whole birthday week of events and whatnot. Did you get to do something fun at least this year, or was it kind of low key?
It was different, you know, as you mentioned, and, you know, usually Lit Souls plays my birthday. I couldn't tell you how many times at this point, you know, we plan a party where they're playing and, you know, we get everybody to come out and, you know, make a great, you know, get together out of it. But yeah, this year was really low key. I did actually have a little get together on my roof with some close friends before my birthday.
Nice.
And then, you know, on my birthday, I did all my favorite things, you know, hiking and a massage and my favorite food and movie. And that was great. And
oh,
then
cool.
I went to Palm Springs and I saw the Poison tribute, Pick Your Poison. And I was so impressed. I mean, you know, I've been a Poison fan, you know, since they came out, since, you know, as a kid, one of the first CDs, actually, I should say cassettes I ever got in my life. Was the Look What the Cat Dragged In. So, you know, I'm kind of hard when I, you know, see a tribute band that I, you know every syllable and note to. And they did great. So, and I had about 10 friends there. You know, everybody was celebrating. Different, you know, everybody's got their own, you know, feelings on the masks and how close you get and if you touch. And, you know, I'm open and
right.
safe and free. So, you know, whatever, you know, people want to do. But you saw a lot of variety there. But I was up front and center rocking out. The band sang me happy birthday.
Nice.
Which was amazing.
Nice.
My friend Aaron got that to happen. So, yeah, it was different, you know, like
That's
you
cool.
said, but I still managed to have two celebrations with friends and a nice
rocking
day
good
to myself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic. You know, one of the cool things that I haven't seen you do this before this year. I know that you will set up like a merch booth at different festivals or different events and whatnot with your Metal Babe merchandise and whatnot. This year, two or three times, you did it live from the Metal Babe lair, you know, and you turned your place, your pad into a online store. And, had a little sale there. That was cool, man. I tuned in a couple times.
You know, that was one of the things that this, you know, whole change of 2020 led me to. And it's so funny because I did it three times. You're exactly right. And it didn't cost me a penny. And I didn't have to carry a bunch of stuff up and down the stairs. I didn't have to pay a fee. I didn't have to drive anywhere. It was amazing. Like, I'm so happy that I came up with this idea. And I would have never thought of it, you know, if there was events going on that I was just scheduling myself every month like normal. So this is something I do plan to keep going. And I had a lot of fun. And every time I'm going to have new products, have a new setup. So at this point, I'm doing my next one for Black Friday. I'll do a nice sale that weekend. And I do actually plan to have a couple live models. So we'll see. This is my whole level of the Facebook Live. I've got some things in the works. So we'll see how that all goes. But, yeah, I've been really happy with it. Every time I've, you know, a lot of regulars have come back to purchase, and I've made new customers every time. So I'm really happy with that whole concept.
That's cool. And I noticed you had some kind of special products too that you kind of, you know, got out of the vault, shall we say, you know, and were like, you know, things you couldn't get anywhere else. So it really behooves people to check that out, you know, when you do it.
Thing is, on my website, you know, it takes, you know, for every product I put up there, it probably takes an hour, you know, 20, 30 minutes per product.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got hundreds and hundreds, you know, and there's just not enough time. And, you know, it's really not worth it to go spend a half hour to go make $20 on a necklace anyways. So that's what's so great about the Facebook Live is I could literally pull everything I have in my storage cabinet and put it on display and say, if you want it, this is it. Or, you know, if you want it, you can get it now because I can get more. But, yeah, so much of what I do is when it's gone, it's gone. And, you know, and the reason why is you have to buy huge quantities of stuff. So if somebody's like, I want one T-shirt, I can't just buy a T-shirt. I got to buy a bunch of them, you know. So it's like when I have it in stock, it's great, you know, and I love to be able to do that Facebook Live to, you know, share with what I actually have and I can ship and I can give that great customer service along with it.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, folks, Allison, I love having Allison on the show because in addition to her just being cool beyond belief and so much fun, is she is one of the most organized people, just inspires me to no end. I love organization, and she is very organized. And, you know, she's had people submit questions. We've got some killer tunes to play. It is just such a pleasure to have you. I could cry.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I love being on your show.
Well, I know it's a lot of work getting all this stuff done, but it's, man, you're just fantastic. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course the quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Should we do a question or two first, or should we play the first track, do you think?
Let's do one question and then play a song. And
okay.
You just
thought
you surprised me. You've got the list, so whatever you want to throw at me.
I do. And one of the interesting – no, here's a – man, these are all really good. This one's from Norma O'Brien. And I'm curious about this because I know you are a globetrotter. You travel the world. And have had all these experiences, and I've heard some just amazing, cool tales, which we'll talk about tonight. But Norma wanted to know, what is the furthest distance you have traveled to see a band, and who was it?
So Norma's my beautiful, amazing sister, for anybody who doesn't know.
Oh, okay.
And I thought that was a great question, and I have a two-part answer. So the first part is...
Okay.
In 2009, I had bought tickets to go to Europe. I had a round-trip ticket to go to London. And then, you know, anybody knows geography knows Helsinki's not that close to London. But I heard that the Hanoi Rocks was going to do their farewell tour at the Tavista Club in Helsinki. So I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to go. So I bought tickets to see Hanoi Rocks in Helsinki.
Wow.
So that was my most furthest I ever traveled. And what was funny is, you know, a lot of times when you buy tickets online, they're in another language. And, you know, sometimes they convert, sometimes they don't. You know, it's a different currency. So in the end, I ended up with an all-ages day show with no alcohol, which was kind of a whole different experience, you know, than you're used to, you know, going to concerts at night, you know. But it was amazing. I mean, you know, I'd never seen, now I've seen Michael Monroe several times and met him and sat in with interviews. But at that point, you know, being a longtime fan, it was, you know, there's no way I was going to not go to their last show. But technically, the furthest that I've ever seen a show from Los Angeles was in Prague. And this wasn't planned.
Yeah.
So this was in 2015. We were at Wacken, which is in Germany, about 40 kilometers from Hamburg. And from there, we had just planned a vacation to go to Prague because we'd never been, you know, and it's beautiful with architecture and everything. We get there, you know, after being camping at Wacken for 4 days with 200 bands. I swear, within minutes of getting off the train, there was a billboard poster that said Hamlet was playing the next day.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, oh, my gosh. So, again, the whole day was spent. How did we get tickets? How do we translate? You know, but I saw him in Prague, and which is technically 300 miles further than Helsinki.
Wow. Wow. So technically, him's the winner. I remember you telling me about that. It was my wife Danny's a big him fan, and I relayed the story to her, and she was super jealous.
Yeah, it was like it was amazing. Like at first, I couldn't believe I didn't know. And you know what? If I would have seen it the next day and I would have missed it, I'd have been so devastated.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, it was meant to be.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we always play some cool clips. Now these are all bands that you know, Allison Diggs and whatnot, and led me wrong with the band. You know, she's always, whenever she says, check this band out, I check them out, and I'm like, that's amazing. You know, you got a finger on the pulse, baby. Now, did you want me to play these in order tonight, Allison?
Yes.
Did you want to mix it up?
Nope.
Okay, we'll do it in order then.
Let's do it in that order.
Awesome, awesome. Well, the first one, you want to tell us about Peppermint Creeps? Life?
I'm sure a lot of you who are listening is familiar with the Peppermint Creeps. They were one of my very, very top favorite Los Angeles bands before I ever moved here in 2004. I'd come out all the time. I would see them play. I met them. They're just kind of punk glam, super fun. And this is a song called Life that, you know, anytime you're just kind of sad or feeling down, it's just kind of a really kind of simple, beautiful way to kind of bring you back up again. So a lot of people are feeling down these days. So through some positive inspiration for everybody. This is Life by the Peppermint Creeps.
Fantastic. Here it is, everybody. What a track, ladies and gentlemen. That was the Peppermint Creeps, Life. Allison, once again, I really dig it.
Yeah.
You're always so good. You call them, man.
Well, that just
you
says we
them.
Both have such great taste in music, Jamie.
I'm telling you. You know, some big fancy record company needs to hire you, and your whole job, you have a big office, I can picture it now, the big desk, and, you know, they come in and play a track for you, and you would say, it's a winner, and then they would give them a big record deal, and, or it stinks, get them out of here. No,
that would be a great job. Being
mean
to
anybody. There you go. Well, if any big fancy record companies are listening in, you know, get a hold of Allison. She'll make you a lot of money. Very, very cool. Oh, Allison, I love these questions. These are fantastic. But, you know, also, I want to tell you something a little bit, because we talked a little bit with your last answer on this, and there's more to that story, because I remember you telling me this, and we have to expand on it a little bit. Now, you mentioned you were at Vacan. Now, the temperature at Vacan was very balmy, right? Very very warm and tropical. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't at all. You were freezing, right? If memory serves.
Yeah, I went the year of the mud is what they call 2015, and especially anybody who goes all the time, who lives there, when you tell them you went that year, you'll just see them cringe. It was awful. I mean, between the mud fest and the piles of shoes and, you know, getting stuck. Yeah, so when we went there, we didn't know any better, and we brought a tent from Los Angeles, you know, and in LA, you know, it's nice out, you know, the tents are made to look at the stars and get a breeze. So we were sleeping in our tent, and it literally hit 0 degrees. It was pouring rain, and, you know, those nice, you know, openings that were meant for the stars, yeah, so the rain was coming in. We were soaking wet. The ground was freezing. We were, like, I literally thought my husband was going to die. Like, his teeth are chattering. His sleeping bag is so soaking wet. He tries to fit in mine. But, you know, we can't both fit in one sleeping bag. It was rough.
Right.
It was rough. And, like, literally the only American that we spoke with the entire trip told us that he thought he would have died that night, and he hitchhiked to a hotel because he couldn't handle it. So we survived, but it was rough.
Well, then, okay, then you went to Prague, you know, beautiful Prague and everything, saw the hymn poster and whatnot, and I'm assuming you're probably staying in a hostel or a hotel or something in Prague, but you went to him the next day, and now it was the exact opposite, right? At the hymn show?
Yeah.
Temperature walking?
It was the craziest thing. I don't think that the United States, like, the laws would let this type of, you know, situation. I'm sure there's rules and regulations here. But we got to the show, and we walked in. And as soon as we walked in, it seemed a little strange. I mean, the floor was really wet and slippery, and it was kind of steamy. And we're just like, what's up with this place? And when you walked in, it was, like, street level. But you walked down a couple flights of stairs. And as you walked down, it kind of got steamier and more slippery. And my husband Grant just looks at me and he's like, you're going to be on your own for this. And I looked at him and I said, all right. I said, I'm going to the front. So I made my way to the front. And it was like a sauna. Like, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Ville stood still when he was performing, and he had a towel in one hand that he continuously blotted himself and, like, was just drenched. I mean, I was holding my hair the entire time, just dripping. The floor was soaked. Like, it was just the craziest thing. You could hardly even breathe. There was so much steam. Like, it was just insane. But I told myself, I'm going to stick it out until the encore. And so, of course, you know, and of course you're crowded, you know, you're touching bodies on top of it, and you're dancing and you're singing. And, you know, and at one point, Ville went and he got all the waters that I guess they had given him for the band, and he handed each band member one. And then he gave the rest of the audience. And I'm like, that was so nice of him. So, I made it to the encore, you know. Absolutely amazing, as always. But I was dying. And, like, finally when they hit encore, like, I ran out of there gasping for air. And I went in the bathroom. And the windows were steamed up, which, you know, is proof. This place was crazy. So, yeah, I got myself a nice cold water to start. And watched the encore from the back. And then when I left, I met my husband at a bar across the street. You know, he'd made a deal where to meet. He says he made it three songs, but while he was outside, he literally watched, like, a dozen people run out gasping for air. Like, it was crazy.
Oh, man. Man, he's over there in the night.
Yeah.
Where it's nice and cool,
so
drinking a beer or something. You know,
I know
Grant was doing that.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, the love for rock and roll. Like, I literally almost, you know, stressed up and back in, and then almost, you know, sweated to death at him. But, you know, I had a great time at both, and I would do it all over again if I could.
Oh, that's amazing. What a great story. What a great story.
But,
that's very, very
but
cool.
I will say, yes, but I will say, and everybody laughs at this, sleeping in a cardboard tent was a million times better than sleeping in an L.A. tent. So I will never bring an L.A. tent back in again. I did learn that one.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's crazy. And people don't realize that, too, because it's you're right. Those, you know, fair weather tents, they are made for that. They're made for a breeze, and you can look at the stars and, you know, and it's all great. It's great if you're at Joshua Tree or something in it. You know, you need that breeze. But if you're at the North Pole, not so much. Not so much.
Yeah, you gotta learn your lessons.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. Now, another question that Dale George Lytle from the band Angelus. We've had them on a couple times. We've had Dale. I've painted Dale. What was the most interesting or fun place you went to on your summer tour? And I'm assuming he's talking about this summer. Because, you did some traveling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went to 16 states this summer. So, yeah, did a lot. But I would say, you know, if I had to pick one, it would be we went whitewater rafting in Canyon City, Colorado. And this time, I've done it two other times now. This is my third time. So you're basically in a raft. You've got a tour guide in the back, and then you've got two or four other people with you, depending. You all have to paddle like crazy. It's an all-day workout. But it's whitewater rapids, and I did the one that's like the advanced intermediate. So we actually got airborne a bunch of times. Like, you know, you tuck your feet in.
Wow.
You can't fall out. But it was crazy. It was so much fun. And, like, I didn't tell Grant that when we did it before, you know, I did, like, the family-friendly ones. This one, I upped it, and I didn't tell him. So when we were on the bus and they're driving us there, they're giving us all these, you know, rules as to what happened, you know, educating us. If you fall out, what do you do? And if someone else falls out, what do you do? And he looks at me and he's like, what did you get us into? We were like nervous for a minute, but then, you know, once we were in there and we're soaking wet and we're getting airborne, I really literally thought to myself, I don't care if I fall out. I know what to do, and it'll add to the story. I didn't fall out, but it was probably the most fun thing that we did all summer long.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Now, is this on the because I'm curious, because I've been through Colorado a few times, and it's breathtakingly beautiful when you go over that continental divide. If you're going west to east, you know, you go over the top, and there's this river that runs along the freeway there, the highway, you know, and there's all kinds of rapids. I wonder if that's the same one or, you know, I imagine there's all kinds of rivers and mountains there, you know. But
the
that
river
sounds amazing.
We actually went underneath the Royal Gorge, which was cool because my last trip to Colorado, we walked across it. So we went under the Royal Gorge, and I'm pretty sure it's the Arkansas River.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I could be wrong.
Cool. And you didn't get hurt or anything. You didn't get banged up.
No, not at all. But what was crazy is there's some kind of like storm front moved in. So when we got done and we're soaking wet and we take the bus ride home, it wasn't as bad as Bakken, but it was close. Like when we got out of the bus, it was like pouring rain and we were soaking wet and it was freezing cold. Yeah, that part was crazy. We had like teeth chattering, running to the car, trying to get our dirty clothes on. You know, that part was crazy. But no, it was all really fun.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, one of the things, like I said, you do so much traveling and whatnot, and you're kind of, you know people everywhere. So when you travel, do you usually stay with friends or you try to work it out like that? I imagine as opposed to staying in hotels and that kind of stuff or camping.
I'd say,
or does it all depend
on where
you're going?
Our trip. No, about two-thirds of the trip we were with friends and family. And, you know, we kind of planned it that way, too. Because, you know, we were on the road 83 days. So, you know, $100 a hotel night, that would be really expensive. So, yeah, two-thirds of the time we stay with family and friends. And what was great is, you know, we weren't really, like, locked in anything. So it was kind of changing. So, like, even we went to St. Louis was the plan, you know, to see my family. And then we stayed there about a week, and then we went to Mississippi with a friend. We did a vacation in Gulfport on the beach where we spent a few nights. And then initially we planned to go to Texas, but, you know, two of the three people we're going to see in Texas weren't available, and it was, you know, such a far drive. We said, you know what, I'm not seeing my family till Christmas. Why don't we just go to St. Louis? You know, we can stay with them, spend more time together. So we kind of almost went back. So all the people we stayed with, on our way to St. Louis again, we called him up, like, hey, can we come back again? So, yeah, about two-thirds of the time, you know, we stay with friends and family. And it's funny, too, because, you know, we kept up on our workout. You know, we worked out averaging 5 or 6 days a week. So everywhere we went, we're working out in our friends' living rooms and basements. And, you know, we kept up on that, too. It's kind of a new thing, but, you know. It was what we had. So
That's cool. Well, maybe you inspired some of those friends to start working out too, you know, and, you know.
That's what I love to hear.
Spread the health and wealth. That's very cool. Very, very cool. Well, you know, and St. Louis, now you grew up and I know Grant grew up, he was more KC, right? You were more St. Louis in that neck of the woods.
Exactly.
So you probably know a lot of people in that neck of the woods. Yeah, so that's cool. That's cool seeing people, you know, and turning this weird summer into, and you know, giving a positive spin on it. I like that. I like that a lot. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Very cool. Allison, you rock. Hey, and speaking of Allison, our next track is by the band Bonehouse. And what's the name of this track, Allison?
This is actually called Allison.
Ah, there you go. Tell us a little bit about this one.
So when I was a teenager growing up in St. Louis, me and my friends would, you know, go out and see bands as much as we could. And Bonehouse was one of the bands that was really active when I was in high school and just out. And so we would go in and we would see them play. And their first cassette they put out, they had a song called Allison. And it's funny because everybody will hear this in a minute. It's a 7-minute ballad. So I don't really think they wanted to play it at every show because, you know, they want to keep the crowd up and pumped and, you know, rocking. But every show I would go to, me and my friends would sit there and yell at them to play Allison until they finally did. So it was just great. And then also, you know, my life, like, the lyrics really fit me. So it was really just like kind of like a personal song, and it was my name. So it was really special.
Like your theme song.
Yeah. And then because I decided, you know, for the show, I wanted to, you know, play up close and personal. I reconnected with the guitarist, Jim, who, you know, I hadn't talked to, you know, 20 plus years, whatever it's been. And we reconnected. I'm sure he's listening at some point, you know, told him we're going to be playing the song. So it's great to, you know, reunite with them and share this, you know, part of my life with everybody listening.
Well, here it is. Without further ado, everybody, this is Bonehouse. This is Allison. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
What an awesome track, Allison. I like it a lot. That's very cool.
That's beautiful. Thank you for playing it. Thank you for everybody listening.
Absolutely.
Too. I know that's a long one. Hopefully you kept your attention.
Well, how could it not? You know, it's about Allison. did that take you right back to those old club days and whatnot?
Oh, yeah. I was right up front singing it with my friends, watching them play it live. Yes.
Nice. Nice. Very cool. Very cool. We have another question. This is from, I hope I don't mess up the name here. This is Renee Buberle, I'm thinking is the outlaw lady one. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. What's your best moment or adventure of this year? Besides whitewater rafting.
Well, you know, everybody already knows about this, but in January I got to meet Bon Jovi. So, yes, you know, that's my highlight probably my whole life. So, and it wasn't even the meeting him that was the best part. It was the after the up-close and intimate acoustic performance when I just happened to be the only one right in front of the stage that I made eye contact with him and he shook my hand. So that was the best part of the year.
See, no, see, that's something, and for those who don't know, I've known Allison a little bit, so I know this, that's something she's been waiting for a while, and it finally
happened.
How cool is that? Oh, that is awesome. Now, growing up, I know you were one of those girls who had, like, a million posters in your room and whatnot. Would you say you had more of Bon Jovi than anyone else, or... was there someone else, or did you have an equal amount of everybody?
I've had, you know, I subscribed to Hit Parade or Circus Metal Edge, so, you know, I mean, whatever posters in those magazines I got, you know, that were the centerfolds or, you know, the four pages, you know, I hung those up. But when I went to the store and bought posters, yeah, I'd say the majority of, like, the real posters were Bon Jovi. It's funny because, yeah, I've got some photos, and when I look at it, it looks like it's all Bon Jovi, but I did have all four walls and the ceiling. So, I mean, it was all 80s rock. But, yeah, I'd say, you know, probably half Bon Jovi, though. They took up a lot of wall space.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. It was, you know, it was so interesting. I was at a dinner party, and I relayed your story. You told me about, you know, making eye contact and getting to shake his hand to my friend's wife. And because she had mentioned, you know, when she was a young lass herself, she was a big Bon Jovi fan. In Massachusetts, where she grew up, and you know, I told her your story, and it was kind of like my wife's reaction with the hymn story, you know, just very jealous, but happy for you, Oh, that's awesome. That is cool. That is very cool. One of the things, you know, that a lot of people want to know is, you know, more about your doing the band interviews. Now, you've talked and met with, like, everybody, it seems, and you've interviewed a lot of people. Laura Cohen wanted to know, what do you enjoy most about doing band interviews?
Well, that's my mom, so shout out to my mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And she just had a birthday recently, too.
Uh-huh, yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. I do interviews on three formats. I do interviews through email, on the phone, and in person. The easiest, of course, is through email, you know, because all you have to do is edit and write an intro. But the most fun is in person. So when I have the chance to, you know, get out my tape recorder and sit side by side with somebody, that's the absolute best, because then you've got interaction, you have eye contact, you can read body language, you can ask follow-ups. So I love the interaction, you know. And I've interviewed, you know, some of the biggest people out there. You know, I've interviewed him, as, you know, we mentioned before. You know, I've interviewed Udo, and I've interviewed Steve Stevens and Mark Slaughter, and, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the bigger names, and of course I've interviewed, you know, a lot of the up-and-comings, but yeah, ultimately I just love that interaction and the energy and experience of being live together. But that's the most work, so, you know, at this point in my career I only do that, you know, when it's something I'm really excited about. Unless, you know, somebody wants to pay me. If Rolling Stone says, hey, we're going to pay you X dollars to interview so-and-so, I'm on it. But, you know, when I'm just interviewing for me, it's got to be, you know, what I want to do.
I hear you. Let me ask you a follow-up to that. Have you ever had this – because I had this experience talking to somebody that is well known, and you think you know them in one way, you know what I mean, and then you get to talking to them, and they're completely different than what you had, like your preconceptions that you had in talking to them. You ever had that happen?
That's a really good question. I don't know. The one thing that comes to mind isn't actually a specifically what you're saying, but it was kind of a surprise in a sense, because I interviewed Michelangelo Badio. I interviewed him, but I had already talked to him, and, you know, we kind of connected when I met at the convention. We connected, we, you know, had some drinks and conversation, and we hung out, and I said, oh, we should do an interview. And I didn't know anything about him. Like, really, you know, I knew he played at Nitro, and I knew he had a show the next day. And so our interview was scheduled after he played. He gets on stage, and he's got this four-neck guitar, and he's doing this over-under technique where his hands are moving so fast you can hardly see them. And I was just, like, blown away. So in the interview the next day, I said, oh, my gosh, Michael, you didn't tell me you were that great of a guitar player. Like, I was blown away. He's like, what am I supposed to say? Hey, Allison, I'm great. He's like, I'm not like that. But it was kind of funny because I think what happened was I had, you know, written all my interview questions, I guess, in a sense. I guess it does answer, because I had just had, you know, read about him on Wikipedia and his website, you know, and I wrote an interview for him based on what I saw online. But after seeing him live, my interview changed. Oh my gosh, tell me about your over-under technique, and how did you learn to play like that, and where did you get the, you know, idea to play with four guitars at once? You know, so it completely changed after I saw him live.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had this happen a couple times, you know, because everybody has all different interests and whatnot. And some people may know this, some people may not. I'm a bit of a car guy. I like classic cars. And, man, I've talked to people I didn't even know, you know, and then I'll somehow a car thing will come up or something in the conversation. And it's a terrible interviewing technique, because then I spend the next 45 minutes talking about cars, and I can hear, like, people's eyes rolling in the audience, you know, like, come on, Jamie, get over it. We want to hear about their band or whatever, you know. Nobody cares about it. Well, I do, but, you know, I've had that happen. Well, very cool, man, very cool. You know, we were talking about Lit Soul, actually. This is kind of interesting, meeting people. This is a question from one of my favorite people, Rob Chevelle, lead vocalist of Lit Soul. Awesome fellow and whatnot. He wanted to know, when did you meet Peter Steele of Typo Negative?
I have met Peter Steele at least twice that were significant. The first time was when they played on the Bloody Kisses tour. It was in St. Louis, Missouri. Mm. And, you know, I'm a big fan of another band that, you know, first saw Black Number One come out, and I was instantly hooked, and he had been a lifelong fan ever since that. You know, seen him, met him, talked about him on that metal show after he passed. But the first time was when after the show, like, the show was great, you know, we had a good time. And after the show, I just saw Peter Steele sitting at a table by himself. And usually at a club show, you don't see the singer sitting at a table by themselves. And he wasn't sitting there. He was sulking, with, like, his hand on his head, you know, his head on his hands, I mean. And so me, you know, Miss Positivity, always trying to cheer up everybody, I walked over there and I sat down, and I was like, you know, hey, are you okay? You just had a great show. Why are you're sitting here, like, with your head in your hands? And he says, I miss my girlfriend. And
oh, wow.
So I literally sat there with him for 40 minutes trying to cheer him up. Because, you know, he was on tour and he missed his girlfriend and he wanted to go home and be with her. And, you know, we talked to that. I don't know, you know, how much I helped. But, you know, we chatted for a while and I tried to cheer him up.
I'm sure that was a
good
help.
About, yeah, that was, I think, about 93. And then the next time I got to meet him, I think was around 98. And he was playing at Pops in Sauge, Illinois. And I was with the friend Tony I worked with at the time, and after the, you know, and I collect set lists. So after the show, I walked up to the stage, to the stagehand, and I said, hi, can I get a set list? He looked at me, and he goes, backstage? You want to go backstage? And he puts his hand out and gave me a strong arm to pull me up on stage. So I was like, okay.
Wow.
And then I looked back at Tony, and it's so funny. I'll never forget. She goes, I'm glad you're hot. just looked at her and laughed. And then I gave her my hand. I pulled her on stage after me. And the security guard, you know, kind of put his arm out. And we walked around the corner. And there was the backstage area. And there was everybody in Typo Negative was back there, you know, hanging out, drinking beer. There's a few other fans. And there was actually a pile of set lists there. So he was trying to get me a set list. So we actually, you know, hung out for a while. We had a couple beers. Everybody in the band signed our set list for us. We took photos. So, yeah, that was a great time. He wasn't sad that time. He was just having fun, you know, talking and drinking beer.
Now, did you mention, when you were met him the second time, did you mention that first time at all? Or did he remember, you know,
no,
that 40 minutes?
I didn't.
I gotcha. Well, you know, it's I don't know if I would have either, but you know what, that's cool times though, man. That's
it was
awesome.
And also though I wouldn't want to bring him down, you know. Remember that time when you're really sad? Right. I don't really think
exactly.
I thought about it, but you know, answering, you know, now I think it was better that, you know, we just had a good time that night.
Right. I gotcha. So that's awesome, man. That's very cool. Now, the next track we're going to play, this is by another fantastic band, Stonebreed, Faded Memories. Tell us a little bit about this one, Allison.
So this is on Stonebreed's second album. I believe it came out last year. And, you know, anytime you listen to an album for the first time, there's that standout song. And when I listened to it, this was that song that just grabbed me. And I'm like, wow, that song was great. You know, I want to hit repeat on that song. And I had told, you know, Carlos and the band, hey, this is my favorite song. And then the next time I saw them, they surprised me and they dedicated it to me. And now it seems, I don't know for sure, but every time I'm there, they're dedicating it. Every time I'm on the Facebook Live and I can't be there, they're dedicating. And it's just such a great song. And I appreciate their support, so I wanted to give some back by playing this song. So this is Faded Memories by Stonebreed.
We'll be right back.
What a track. What a track. That was Stonebreed, Faded Memories. Another winner, Allison. Man, these are all great. These are all fantastic.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. I'm glad you like them.
Now, I wanted to mention, folks, I haven't said it on the show tonight yet. I just realized when that track was playing, but we have links to Metal Babe Mayhem, metalbabemayhem.com, of course, mbmmusicllc.com, the Metal Babe Mayhem Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything, all the social media. So you got to go check it out, man. Check out Allison's pages and whatnot, because they're really, really cool. And you update a lot, Allison, on Metal Babe Mayhem. I noticed in particular, you're really good about that. You know, I guess that
inspires me. There's always something going on. And, you know, the fact that I can do it myself helps.
Right. I hear. Oh, man. I hear you on that. But it's a great website. I really, really like your website a lot. Man, that is very cool. Hey, this is an interesting question that came through. And this is by Saruf Roos Pisces. Have you ever been in a band? Are you a musician on top of all the other talents you have?
That is a great question. And probably, I don't know if anybody's going to know my whole answer. So when I lived in St. Louis, I tried to play drums. First of all, I got a drum set and put it in my basement, and I put together a band, and we were called The Green Machine. And it was fun, you know. I was playing drums, and together we wrote one of the most amazing songs ever. I have it on a cassette, and it was just this heavy, you know, metal song, and it was really cool, great lyrics that me and my friend Scotty wrote. But what we realized after we recorded this great song is that me and Scotty wanted to be Sabotage and everybody else wanted to be the Beatles. So we're like, you know, that was a great song, but I think we need to go our separate ways. So that didn't work. I do have the tape. And then when I first moved to LA, a friend of mine at Dublin told me there was a Ramones tribute band that was all girls called the Ramonas looking for a singer, and I should apply, you know, and I was like, why not? What can it hurt? So I put on my cool leather jacket and I went and I applied and I got the gig, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
And so we went to some rehearsals. I learned a bunch of songs. I was loving it. But at the same time, I had just moved here and I was doing a sales job for graphic clothing, and I traveled 8 months out of my 12 months I lived here, and the band says, you know, we can't have a singer who's not in town, and I'm like, well, I just moved here, I can't leave my job. So that was that. So quite a few years went by.
I hear you.
And an opportunity came up for me to work as an actress in the Alice Cooper band Nightmare. And I thought, you know, why not? That sounds fun. You know, I knew Nick the singer, I'd seen the shows, and you know, they do all those theatrics like Alice. So I did about 2 years, maybe, you know, I don't know, 30 shows or something. It was quite a bit all over L.A. where I would, you know, I'd wear a schoolgirl outfit for schools out. I did what I thought was so much fun for a Black Widow. I would wear this spider costume with, like, these eight legs and dance around the stage. I had, you know, quite a few roles. At some point, I did a doctor, I did a nurse. One time, the Frankenstein wasn't there. I wore that. So it was fun, you know, I did that like 2 years, but then I kind of realized this isn't really, you know, getting me anywhere. So I kind of stepped away from that. And then the last one I was in, it was a Freak Show and Friends. And that was Freak Show and Linka's band, couple, they used to live here in LA. And Freak Show is again here, but they did punk covers. And Linka was Freak Show's girlfriend, and they asked me to be in the band and sing backup. So me and Lenka sing backups, and it was a blast. We had so much fun. You know, she'd be on one side of the stage, I'd be on the other. We would sing and dance, and they even got a gig in Seattle at one point, and I flew out there, and I played in Seattle. So fun, but, you know, sizzled apart at some point. But I do have experience with four different bands.
That's amazing. I did not know any of that, ladies and gentlemen. Wow.
Yeah.
See, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, great question. You know, it was, all of them were great experiences. I learned something, and, you know, if some other opportunity comes my way in the future, you know, we'll see.
No, oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Oh man. Well, Brenda, you know, kind of attached to that question, because I want to touch on these if I can. Brenda Borchers wanted to know. No, I know you have this talent because we've talked about it, and I've seen a couple videos once or twice. What is your favorite karaoke song to do?
I do have a number one go-to. It's my staple from when I was a teenager. A friend of mine, Shannon, and kind of she might have either asked or dared, I'm not sure. She says, "Will you sing 'I Hate Myself for Loving You' to me?" And so I did it, you know, and kind of made it fun, like I was singing it to her. So that's kind of been my staple. And, you know, I could do that, you know, anytime, anywhere. I can knock that one out. So, you know, I do love karaoke. I've got, you know, some other go-tos. Like, I've done, like, Walk This Way by Aerosmith. It's really fun. Cheap Tricks, I Want You to Want Me is fun. I like to do stuff people know and can kind of sing along, because if you do an obscure song, they look at you like you're crazy, and I've done that a lot too, but it's more fun when they know it and they sing along and dance. So I tend to stick to those when I'm like out in public.
Would you not in the shower singing?
Here's a funny add-on, actually, Jamie. When we were in Helsinki last summer, we went to a karaoke bar. And they had a song, you might know this, they had a song by the Violent Femmes called Kiss Off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do? Okay.
I sang that song.
Mm-hmm. And everybody in the room looked at me like I was crazy, including my husband. Like, he's never heard the song. And I'm like, are you serious? I've been singing this since high school. This is like an anthem. Like, I love this song. And I had a blast. I didn't care. Everybody just stared at me like, who is this person and why are they singing this song? We don't know, but I had a blast, but it's more fun, you know, for everyone when they know the song.
That's funny. Oh, man, that is funny. That's a good song. I like that song,
too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're right. You're right. A lot of people probably, you know, it wasn't one of their it wasn't as popular as Blister in the Sun. You know, we've all heard that a million times. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, the next song we're going to hear, now this is another one of my favorite people that Allison, you introduced me. Most of the people that my metal friend through you, that people you've introduced and had on the show and whatnot. And this particular one, Bob D is, this is a great song too. Midnight Dancer. This is off his last album, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I was kind of thinking when I was talking about Faded Memories of Stonebreed a few minutes ago, this fits exactly in that same category. You know, I listened to the album. This was that song that I just said, wow, this makes me want to go to a live show right now, get in front and dance. And it's just super fun. Love it. And then I did bring Bob D to L.A. last year. We did a West Coast tour. And I did get to dance in front, you know, about five different times to the song. So my wish came true, nice. And now we get to play it live for everybody here on the air.
Check this out, everybody. This is a great one. This is Bob D, Midnight Dancer.
Follow the glow that you send to the moonlight.
What a track, everybody. What a Did I lie? I'm telling you, I like that one a lot, Allison. Bob D, Midnight Dancer. The track's
super fun. We're going to bring him back next year, so we'll get to dance again in front of the stage.
Nice, nice. Now, I know we're up against the time, but we've got one last question I want to get to. And this is, speaking of bringing people to out to the West Coast there, this is Mick Michaels from Corners of Sanctuary. Now, this is an interesting track, or an interesting question, I should say. What would you do, or how would you suggest a band handle members who are either struggling or not complying with onstage attire that keeps the band looking or cohesive looking? Not all of us have style, I get that, but maybe more for those members who seem to want to do their own thing regardless of the band standards. That can be a tricky situation, huh? Good question.
Yeah, for sure, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of bands don't have any style at all these days, and I think it's great when you do. I do think it's important, you know, if you're in the audience and you're looking at the stage, that it makes sense. You know, they don't have to have, you know, matching outfits or anything like that, but you want them to look good together. So for Mick's question, I think you want to keep the person comfortable. So say that you're trying to get them to do something that they're not comfortable with, is to find a middle ground. You know, if you're like, I want you to wear this, you know, cowboy hat, and he's like, well, I don't want to do that, but, you know, find a middle ground hat. You know, I think just to try to find a compromise so it will still look good in a photo, video, on stage, whatever the idea is. But they have to be comfortable, because when somebody's wearing something that they don't feel good in, they're going to be awkward. They might not perform as well. So the most important thing is to compromise and to still find a way to be comfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and I don't think Mick's trying to get anybody to do, like, you know, the Twisted Sister look or anything. I don't think there's any heels involved or anything. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah.
very, very cool. Well, you know, the cool thing about Allison is Allison's very active on social media. We have links up to her social media and whatnot. And we also have links to her websites, the various websites and whatnot. And, you know, I'm telling you guys, if you're in a band or you're trying to do something and whatnot, Allison's a good person to know. Meet her. Get to know her. She will answer all of your rock and roll questions because she knows it. I've been doing this a long time, man. She knows what's up. Very, very cool, Allison. Man, it always goes by too quick when you're on the show, you know?
It did. Just I can't believe quick. It. Flown by. Yeah, it's been so much fun, though.
It's always fun. It's always fun, and I can't wait for the next time. This episode, ladies and gentlemen, we're right up against the time. I've kept Allison longer than I meant to, but she's just so fascinating. You know, it gets away from me. What can I say? What can I say?
Thank you.
Yeah, Allison, keep doing what you're doing. You know, you're just so good at it, and I can't wait to read more of your interviews. And, yeah, and you're going to be posting that one that's dropping tomorrow, right, in the
exactly. Yep, I'll be posting that
Symphony.
Tomorrow. Yep.
Cool. I can't wait to read it and whatnot, and I'll be blasting that out on all my social media, the links and everything to it as well for you guys listening. Very, very cool. I'll do my normal spiel. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various podcasting platforms. And we just added a brand new one to this. We're on all the big ones. We're on like 200 of them or something. But the big ones, of course, are Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and we're also on Spotify. And now we're on TuneIn, and that's cool. So we'll have links to all that as well. We also put direct links where you can stream the show once we convert it to a podcast on all the social media platforms. So I really appreciate that. Get over to metalbabemayhem.com and check that out. And if you're in a band or a vendor, this stuff will crank up again. And, you know, get over there and check out MBM Music LLC as well. Very cool. Allison, man, you're cool. Just keep doing it, baby. Just keep doing it. And, you know, I want to see more. I want more.
So I'm not slowing down, you know. I got a few things up my sleeves for the rest of the year. So I better just keep posted.
Awesome.
And, you know, thank you, Jamie, so much for having me. And thank you, everybody out there listening. I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody who's, you know, been sharing the links and supporting me. And anyway, it's all appreciated.
Awesome. Hey, and best to Grant from us all here. You know, he's all... I love hearing about Grant's adventures as well. He's very cool. You should. I think he's
Thank
a
you.
Keeper, Allison. I think he's a keeper. Very cool. Everybody, thanks so much for tuning in. And this podcast will be dropping probably when we convert it, probably be about an hour. So thanks, everybody. And we will post it out just as soon as we get it all figured out and all done. It'll definitely be tonight, though. Very cool. Thank you, Allison, so much for being on the show. You rock.
All right. Well, thank you, Jamie. Right back at you.
Talk to you later.
Okay. All right. Bye. Bye, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited. For broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.